Hi, thank you for joining us for Talk of the Rock today. My name is Dylan Simard. I'll be your host. Joining me are Marlies Lee and Tyler Rose from the Kodiak History Museum. How are you two doing?
We're great. Happy
Doing well, thank
to
you.
be here.
So, could you guys tell me a little bit about this book that you will be republishing in the very near future?
Sure. The Kodiak History Museum received a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, Exploring the Human Endeavor, to execute the Erskine House Storytelling Project, which is based around republishing Faraway Island, A Childhood in Kodiak, written by Carolyn Erskine Andrews. She was the daughter of W.J. and Nellie Erskine, who and their family lived in the house that where the Kodiak History Museum is currently located during the early part of the 20th century, so pre-World War II. It's basically her memoir of her time in Kodiak. It has a lot of really great stories, and it also goes into a lot of detail describing how the magazine, which is where the H Kodiak History Museum is located, was laid out, how it was decorated, what their life was like in Kodiak. And she wrote that and self-published it in 2000, but it was only published in a small print run of 250 copies. So it's very rare. And to make it more accessible and, generate interest for the museum, we're republishing that. And it should be available in the next month or so.
Okay, so just to give our listeners a sense of what the contents of this book is like, I understand that you have some passages with you today. Would you like to read those?
Yeah, for sure. So it's one of the things that makes the book so charming is just that Carolyn is a really engaging writer. And these are all, stories from her childhood, stories about her time in the magazine, and stories about her parents. So they're all very personal, and that's one of the things that we really like about the book. So something that she goes into a little bit is that her father didn't really fit in with the general Kodiak culture here. He was always in a suit. He was a businessman from down south, in what was basically a frontier town. So the little passage that I have to read is a time a funny story about him. So here we go. The prize salmon was the king, a beautiful gleaming fish with rich red and flavorful flesh. When the kings were running, they presented a sore temptation for Dad. If possible, he would drop his work, pick up his fishing gear, and set forth. One memorable occasion, a sudden run of fish caught him in the office in his business suit. He put off his jacket and took one of the small dinghies out into the channel where the kings were running. After casting off for a while, he hooked a big one that was fully determined to get free of the hook that held him. Dad's rods were thinner than any reasonable fisherman thought appropriate for that size fish. He was forced to play the fish until it was exhausted rather than put pressure on the rod to pull it in. In due course, more and more of the townspeople gathered on the bank overlooking the channel to watch him work the fish. An hour passed, and still the struggle went on. Dad's concentration never wavered, but the exertion eventually loosened the belt of his trousers. A burst of laughter went up from what was now a sizable crowd on the bank when the belt let go and his trousers slid slowly into the boat. He continued on, standing there in his long johns, while the onlookers' mirth became uncontrollable. Mr. Erskine, in all his dignity, was on public display in his underwear. When he finally brought in the fish, he was greeted with applause. Only then did he realize his appearance. He acknowledged the applause as he was hastily pulling up his trousers. I'm sure his exploit won some approval from the townspeople, for he not only landed a magnificent fish, but his unusual sartorial disarray helped to erase the impression of formality that his everyday appearance had engendered.
Wow. So, I mean, that's a very unusually human, shall we say, recount of Kodiak history. So, why now? Why this book?
So some of our goals for the project were when we started thinking about this project, it was, we'd just gone into shutdown. And we're trying to think of ways that, we could still connect with the museum, still connect with the community. So one of our goals was to just reinvigorate awareness of the history of the Russian American magazine and the Erskine House. which is where the Kodiak History Museum is housed. We wanted to celebrate the stories and connect with the community without, in a way that was safe, without risking face-to-face communication. You know, since it's a book, we'd be able to, if we were open or closed, we'd be able to share it with everyone and the town would be able to enjoy it. And then also, this is a way to make the museum's archival material more accessible, because we have one copy in the museum, but you're not able to check it out. And so by republishing this, it becomes available for anyone.
And, you know, there's a lot of different interesting parts of the history, even though it's just written about Carolyn's childhood. There wasn't a lot of town records and newspapers in Kodiak to before like 1940. So just having this kind of first person account of, you know, what the town looked like or what things about the people living there. This is a good history to have, because there really wasn't a lot of history that existed before the Kodiak Mirror.
Yeah, and the detail she goes into about the Erskine House itself is really interesting as well, especially for us as employees at the museum, because she describes how all the rooms were laid out, where their bedrooms were, what each room was used for, what, you know, the color they painted their walls. And so that's something that's just really interesting about the building that we're so involved with.
So I suppose then that... how would you guys respond to people questioning, in particular, this is, after all, a account of Kodiak history from a wealthy white woman during a time when Kodiak was a much more diverse community. So how might you guys respond to the idea that the money is being spent on republishing what is ultimately a rather narrow glance at a very broad picture of the past?
Yeah, like Marley said, there aren't a lot of written accounts of Kodiak history before the Kodiak Mirror and when Kodiak City was incorporated in 1940. And then a lot of the business correspondence and church records, they're in Cyrillic. So this account, while not being a representation of everyone who lived in Kodiak and being a very narrow point of view, does give a glimpse into that time that's not really available in a written form. And it also has to do specifically with the building where the Kodiak History Museum is. So it's very topical for us, as that's our building that we're caring for. We're always looking for more inclusive records, and if anybody knows about them, you know, we'd love to support other projects and work on ones in the future. This is just one that was available to us and really impacts the well-being of our building.
So what else would you like people to know about this book and its publication?
Yeah. Did you want to take this, Marlies?
Well, you know, we are republishing the book, and one of the things we're really encouraging is kind of having this bring out other people's stories. So we're doing some programming to tie in with this. Like, we're doing the first Friday in December, we're going to be working with the Kodiak Public Library and be doing like a storytelling project via Zoom. Well, we'll be doing some readings from the book, and then also trying to bring in community members who might have a connection to the book, or a connection just to the museum or the grounds, because we really do want to bring other voices, so that this kind of creates a tapestry of all the voices that we have in Kodiak. And although this book might just kind of present, you know, this Carolyn's childhood, It's very important to kind of reevaluate some of these historical documents. And as times change, and you know, some of the voices that maybe had been suppressed before now, when we're able to kind of look at these stories through the lens of what we know now, and trying to, you know, encourage other people to bring their stories, I think, you know, it really it adds a lot to the history that we have here in Kodiak.
So I suppose one question that listeners might have is, how does a museum run in the time of COVID, and what are you guys doing to keep the storytelling of Kodiak as an ongoing project when people are more or less stuck indoors?
Yeah, so one of the interesting things that I've learned as working at the museum is that being open, having our galleries open is just one small part of what running is involved in running the museum, taking care of the collection. And so we actually have a lot of work, even when we were closed, reaching out to people, caring for the collection, grant writing, all of those things. And then we also have, now that we are starting to reopen, we have all those great programming scheduled coming up that Marlies was talking about for Faraway Island and then other topics.
And we do try to make ourselves available online. Like we have, some of our information is available online, but we also even have just the museum store that has some items from local vendors and artists. You know, we have those available online so that people all over the world actually have access to that. We've also been trying to bring in local artists for our Sun Porch project. And when the doors are open, it's wonderful because people can come in and see those themselves. But we are sharing those, you know, via newsletter and electronic documents and, as well. And just like everyone else, been setting up a lot of Zoom activities because it seems to be one of the best ways to reach out to people.
Yeah, and we also are available, whether we're open or closed, for research appointments. And you can make those by reaching out to Margaret Greuthart, who's our collections manager at collections@kodiakhistorymuseum.org. And that can be for anything. It doesn't have to be for a specific topic of research. We have a really nice research area upstairs, and people are welcome to come and visit the collection.
So not that I'm an expert or anything, but I've done a handful of stories here and there with museums that were undergoing like I could describe it, I think, as a radically changing program to sort of bring in the Gen Z more and more, as you see a generation of people who have been raised online. And so museums have been trying to adapt to that. So I was curious in particular whether or not the COVID-19 pandemic has accelerated any changes in the business of museums, or brought any changes that you think will be in effect long term for your project here in Kodiak.
I think it definitely, so when we reopened, I think it was 2 years ago now, with our new name and our new collections, we went through a lot of professionalizing and, you know, getting everything more online. So I think when we closed for COVID, it just gave us a little time to finish projects and stuff that we've been working on and getting ourselves up to speed as far as our Instagram and our Facebook and connecting online and connecting through our newsletter and our email list, that, you know, maybe we didn't have as much time to do before. It was almost nice to have a little bit of time to catch up on things.
And I think with museums, you know, staying relevant and having sustainable programming is such a big part of like moving forward. So when we did the redesign, one of the things we really talked about is when children come in for field trips or they come in with family, how can we make them have a connection to the museum? And so our new exhibits really kind of focus more on telling the stories rather than just presenting kind of a static view. And so we're really trying to have these children kind of grow up with a connection to the museum so that as they become adults, that the museum is kind of a community center and really being a part of the community and not just kind of having the museum decide what we present. We want the community to really be involved and feel like the Kodiak History Museum is a part of their town and a way to tell their own stories.
So how do you guys see the future of your museum, you know, 5-10 years from now, as eventually you see people who are in their early and mid-20s start to have children of their own and maybe start bringing them by the Kodiak History Museum?
I would love to see it just become more and more of a community center where people feel comfortable sharing their stories and their treasured objects with the museum, knowing that they're keeping them safe and that they're welcome in that space, their stories are welcome there.
And the building itself has been through so many changes. It was built back around 1808 by the Russians. Yeah. And amazing, it's still standing. You know, there's been volcanoes, there's been earthquakes, there was a tsunami. The tsunami actually came almost up to the front porch, yet the building, you know, is still standing. Mm-hmm. And after it was the Russian American magazine, it was a boarding house for a while. Then the Erskines turned it into a home. So, you know, the building has really been through many different roles in the community. One of the other readings that we had from the book was just kind of her describing one of the rooms that if anybody who has come into the museum will recognize, we have these beautiful bay windows in the front room. And if you don't mind, I'll do the reading where she's describing her living room so that you can kind of see what it was like for her as a child. Carolyn's talking about the big pot-bellied stove that they had in their living room. She says, it was certainly the center of any gathering in the room during the cold months. In front of it stretched the skin of a mammoth Kodiak bear, the favorite spot to stretch out and read on a stormy winter's night. At the opposite end of the room was a deep bay with full-size windows on all three sides. I looked out over the garden to St. Paul's Harbor and the mountains beyond, presenting a lovely view when not obstructed by Mother's passion for plants. The bay was large enough to accommodate a small couch and a chair. It was Mother's favorite spot to sit and read or attend to whatever mending or sewing awaited her in the huge Indian basket that she kept there for that purpose. It was a warm, welcoming room with the wallboard tinted a soft yellow, the wooden trim painted white, and ornamented by the gleaming brass and copper artifacts that Mother and Dad had collected. So, you know, anyone who's been in the museum, you can see those bay windows. And I feel like I can just, you know, imagine the family sitting there. And it really kind of makes that the history feel like I can just be a part of it.
So to be clear, then, your vision for the future of the museum is as a sort of center point for the cultural history of Kodiak to sort of crowd around.
Yeah. But also to, you know, spread out and invite more people to be part of that, not as something focused on the museum as us determining the stories, but as a place for those stories to collect.
So let's get into the programs then. So what specifically have you guys done to change things up for COVID and to continue the storytelling mission of the museum, even during a global pandemic?
Well, you know, speaking with you all on KMXT today is one of our ways that we're sharing it, and we really appreciate you guys having us on air. We will also be doing a republication celebration. We have partners with this book, Anjali Grantham. She's a Kodiak historian, and then she's also the curator of statewide services at the Alaska State Museum. She did a wonderful foreword to the book that kind of, you know, talks about perhaps some of the limitations and just really is a wonderful introduction to the new project. Sarah Asper-Smith was responsible for the layout and design. So we're gonna be kind of celebrating with them the republication and all the different people who went into making this possible. We'll be doing the Kodiak Public Library book reading that I mentioned. And then we're also going to be doing a storytelling project, Question and Answers. We want local experts, you know, perhaps people who know about the carpentry and gardening, and there's like all the things that she mentions in her book, and kind of bringing these local experts, and then people can kind of ask questions and really trying to kind of address any questions the community might have, as well as, you know, enriching all of our knowledge about some of the things that she mentions in the book.
So,
yeah, and oh, go ahead.
No, please.
And we're also going to be, it's going to be available in hardcover and ebook. So if that's something easier for people to get without even leaving their homes, that'll be available. And then one of the cool things about the republication is that it's, while Carolyn selected a bunch of photographs, and some of those are in the museum collection, we've added over 20 new photographs. So you'll get a little more of a glimpse into the Kodiak History Museum collection than was previously in the book.
For the republication, you said that it will be available on ebook. Where would that ebook be available? Where can people buy copies of this republished book, and how much is the price for it?
I think we agree to the Kodiak Public Library will have one of the ebooks available for checking out. And then Tyler Rose, it's on Amazon as well, correct?
Yeah, it hasn't. It hasn't officially been published yet. So I think it's going. They're still working out a few details. So it'll definitely be available at the Kodiak History Museum and hopefully on our website. But it may also be available on Amazon. And so more information will be about forthcoming about that in the next few days, even, and then in upcoming weeks.
Would I be able to get it on my Kindle?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay. So I suppose, I think it goes without saying that we are in an unprecedented time in this nation's history. At what points in Kodiak's past do you draw inspiration towards Kodiak's present and future? Do you see things... how do you see the spirit of the community responding to these events, historically speaking, when there were other times of adversity here on Kodiak Island?
Yeah, I feel like one of the things, I know we've had a couple of tsunami warnings recently that, you know, are always a little upsetting for everybody. But one of the things that is always a little reassuring for me is how long the museum building specifically has stood and been part of this community. So even when we're having those warnings, it's like, you know, Kodiak has weathered a lot of things before: earthquakes, tsunamis, the ashfall, and everyone has always come through helping each other. And I really like that.
I found the book to be really interesting, just thinking about all the changes that Kodiak City has been through. You know, she said in the beginning of the century, there was only about 400 or 500 people living in Kodiak. Mm-hmm. And then around World War II time, you know, there was a 16,000. So you just think about like how massive that change felt, even in that amount of time. And then post-war, tens of thousands of people left the island. So, you know, although it feels like we're in a very tumultuous time, like Kodiak has been through a lot of changes and we've always, you know, managed to get through them. So it's just kind of taking that long view of realizing, you know, we've made it through many, many different changes and volcanoes and earthquakes, as you said, and we're still here. So I think that gives me faith for the future.
So I suppose then, as another question, what is the museum doing now to preserve these stories of COVID-19 for future generations, when people who have yet to be born will be one day wondering what things were like here at this moment in time in history during the pandemic?
Yeah, so the Kodiak History Museum right now has running the Day by Day project. We're collecting digital files of people in Kodiak's experience of the pandemic to be in our research files to be available for the future. And if you have something you'd like to submit to that, you know, a picture, a screen capture of a text message, the text of an email, even one of the mandates, you can submit those to daybyday@kodiakhistorymuseum.org. And if you would like to see what has been submitted already, you can go to our website at www.kodiakhistorymuseum.org and look for the Day by Day project. And we've been posting those in a blog format. So you can see some of the other things that have been submitted.
So to be clear, is that just like, I mean, just about any media record would be accepted in regards to just people here in Kodiak?
It just needs to be a digital file that relates to your experience of Kodiak, of COVID in Kodiak.
Continue.
So we've had people submit screen captures of their text messages. We've had people send in photographs of their social distancing music events, art they've created. Someone submitted a poem. So just anything that, you know, you think is worth being saved in the research files of the Kodiak History Museum, or even anything that you aren't sure is worth it, but represents your experience, because that's really what we're interested in. We're interested in people's stories and the story of their life here.
So how would you characterize the storytelling that's been done so far in that regard? Is it somber in tone? Is it hopeful? Is it forward looking?
There's an interesting mix. I think one of the things that, you know, we're all experiencing is that, you know, how you're feeling goes up and down day to day. So there's some things that seem a little anxious. There's some things that seem hopeful. And there's, you know, some of the pictures of people managing to get together anyway, while safely social distancing, is really heartwarming. So there's a mix, because we're having a mixed experience.
Right.
Yeah.
So I suppose it's still anybody's guess as to how long the pandemic will continue, or who knows, abate soon. Yes. You know, hopefully, fingers crossed. But,
right.
Without doing any future telling, I suppose, if there were to be if the pandemic were to continue, perhaps not indefinitely, but over the course of like another two whole calendar years, what would the museum change its programming in that regard to get in more of the storytelling from people on the island, or are you largely satisfied right now with archiving the digital history of people in Kodiak right now?
I think we have an upcoming project that has to do with more digital video documentaries made by youth that might be coming in the winter sometime. But currently we are, you know, hoping to be open and hoping to have our galleries open for the future.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we're just like everyone else being very flexible, and if it means that we need to have a lot more online content and things like that, we will. And I just wanting to still remain a relevant part of the community, and also just having all of our resources available to people as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you saying?
Yeah, I know. I was going to say that even as we go forward and are having to, you know, open or close as, you know, Kodiak's risk goes up and down, you can always reach out to the Kodiak History Museum with research questions or to make a research appointment. And we have ways to accommodate people even for social distancing. And we're very careful with sanitizing and doing everything we can to keep everyone safe.
Okay. Final thoughts. Is there anything that people should know about the museum that you have not said yet?
About the museum. I think I would just like people to know that, you know, it's a community center. We are interested in your stories. And we're really looking forward to sharing the Erskine House Storytelling Project with you and making Faraway Island available. It's a really special book, and we're really excited to be able to share that with everyone.
Okay. Well, Marlies, Taylor Rose, thank you so very much for your time today.
Thank you
guys have.
Yeah, thank you.
So you have heard another episode of KMXT's Talk of the Rock. I have been your host, Dylan Simard. I will now be turning it back over to our regularly scheduled programming. Thank you so much.